I'm a physicist by training, and I have a software business in Silicon Valley. And for 30 years, I've been doing citizen advocacy for poverty work. And after a while, we realized that we're doing great guns on saving lives, on immunizing all the world's kids, on turning around the AIDS epidemic. And when we saw that crop production was going down because of the climate, we realized that unless we did something about the climate, all of our progress on poverty reduction was going to go down the tubes. I was advising our spinoff group, which is called the Citizens Climate Lobby. And after the second year, I said, well, this isn't moving too fast. What's your goal? What do you want to produce? Because I'm a Silicon Valley guy, and we do goals. What by when? And they ultimately said, we're not sure what the goal is. A carbon tax is good, but that's not the goal. The goal is the climate. And so I talked with Jim Hansen, who was on the board, and talked with about 15 other top climate scientists, and there was no goal. They said, well, we want to avoid the worst aspects of climate change. And I thought, I would never invest in a company that had that as a mission statement, because you can't succeed. And I actually quit for a while. And then when my daughter came back from college, I realized that I couldn't abandon the climate. And so, long story short, I looked at what does it mean to restore the climate, to have a meaningful climate goal. And the critical thing was to figure out who the customer is. Because at first I thought the customer was nature. But, you know, nature's going to be fine without us. And so I realized that that was not the customer, that humanity is the customer. Then what does humanity want? Well, that's actually sort of easy. If the planet gets too hot, we're going to die off. If the planet gets too cold, we're going to die off. There's a sweet spot where our species is designed for, just evolved for, and where our culture is designed for. And that's, we call it pre-industrial, which I don't like because it's so mental. But it's what our grandparents had. We call it 300 parts per million of CO2 for the scientists. And we have to do it by the year 2050, or it'll be too late for our kids.
300 parts per million, we have long passed that. Have we not? Haven't we just recently reached 400 parts per million?
410.
410 parts per million. Talk about what that means.
It's really interesting because you have to bend your brain around this. So I'm going to say something that's really bad news and then some really good news. Okay. So by analogy, when a company does badly, sometimes a new CEO will say, our mission is to not go bankrupt. Cut costs, stop spending. And you and I look at a company like that and say, they're going to go bankrupt if that's their mission. Okay. A good CEO comes in and says, we're going to turn this around. You know, we're doing badly now. Let's identify our customer. What do they want? And how are we going to give it to them? In the climate, we went bankrupt 30 years ago. 350, some of your listeners know, is the level above which scientists all agree we're not going to survive well. We might survive, but we very likely won't. And we passed that in 1988. We went bankrupt in 1988, and we're still having a business plan saying avoid bankruptcy. And so what our Healthy Climate Alliance is doing is working with the scientific community and the policy community and then the people who they represent and saying, let's change our business plan to restoring the climate. Because what we want is that Goldilocks climate, not too hot, not too cold.
There are a lot of ideas out there. So how are yours different?
Well, it starts with first telling the truth that we lost the war. And restoring the climate is a little bit like the Marshall Plan after World War II. You've got to do a whole new approach than at the beginning of the war. So we have to get the carbon out of the atmosphere. We have a trillion tons.
We have a trillion tons of carbon in the atmosphere right now. A trillion tons are just hanging out in the atmosphere.
Here's the good news. One of the things that we can do with that CO2 on land is we can mineralize it. That means turning it into minerals. Limestone is the best. And limestone by weight is half CO2. Because it's calcium carbonate, and that's by weight half CO2. And clams, when they make their shell, which is limestone, they make it from CO2 and calcium out of the seawater. And so in Silicon Valley, we have a company that duplicated that process in pipes and chemistry. And so they actually make limestone gravel used in concrete. So they're actually building highways out of limestone made out of CO2 from the atmosphere. What's nice is you can see a place that we can put the CO2 and use it. What's really exciting with it is you can sell it, right? Because you're now, instead of quarrying it and scarring the landscape, you're pulling it out of the atmosphere. And instead of shipping it long distances, burning whatever fuel to ship it, you can actually create it in place.
Tell me about prototypes. Do you have a factory going?
Yeah, I'm not the founder of that company. I'm a friend of his. And he's done a pilot, which has created aggregate for the concrete at the San Francisco airport and the Salesforce building in San Francisco. And they've been approved by the California Highway Department. They're opening their first commercial plant in September.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much. And thank you for coming here.